سخنران امشب جلسه تهران ای که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر ناحیه 15 اهل کلیه گمنام تهران است، خانم هایدی از امریکا با 37 سال هوشیاری و مترجم عزیز خانم سارا. موضوع جلسه همون پذیرش رها کردن و دانستن این که چه زمانی باید سکوت کرد. موضوع جلسه همون. خانم سارا عزیز، جلسه دست شماست، خواهش میکنم.
بله، مرسی. سلام دوستان، سارا هستم الگولی. هاي هایدی، you can unmute yourself, go ahead. Just the mute button, just
yeah I couldn't find it, sorry. I don't know why, it's just like the screen looks different and I couldn't find it. I'm like pressing buttons to try to get the thing to come up. Anyway, it was I'm Heidi, I'm alcoholic. Do I start speaking now?
Okay. Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
Oh, so it's my turn to talk. Okay, I mean, it's okay. Thank you. I'm Heidi, and I'm an alcoholic, and I thank you so much, Serge, for asking me to speak. I'm honored, and to see so many amazing people here, and and the language is so beautiful. I wish I could learn it. It sounds like a song. It's so beautiful.
اوکی سلام دوستان، من هایده هستم، یک الکلی. یه ذره اولش گیج شدم که میکروفونم گم کرده بودم چطور خودم رو باز بکنم، ولی الان اوکی شد و خیلی از سرش تشکر میکنم. این خیلی خوب هستش که من اینجا پیش شما هستم، پیش شما آدم های نازنین، و خوشحالم که اینجا. اوکی.
Anyway, I'm 37 years sober, and many years ago, I came into these rooms unbeknownst to myself. Really, I didn't. I had a girlfriend, and she brought me to a meeting, and I didn't think I was. I just thought I was visiting. Really, I stopped speaking so you can translate. I don't know, but so. I look, you know, I looked around, I said, I guess, well, I'm an alcoholic, this is where alcoholics go. And I started going to meetings, but at first I didn't quite take to it. I didn't go to that many meetings in the first 90 days. But luckily, I was just lucky. I stayed sober and didn't count my days, but I got sober.
دوستان، من 37 ساله که توی برنامه هستم و هوشیاری دارم و نمیدونم چطور بگم. من با یک خانمی دوست بودم، با یه دختری که من آورد توی این جلسات و من یه کمی اینجا گوش دادم، فهمیدم که من الکلی هستم. اولش خیلی خوب نگرفتم که جریان چیه، حتی روزام رو هم نمیشمردم که روزای پاکی من چطوریه و چقدر داره میگذره، ولی به هر حال که موندم و اون اول روز اول رو رد کردم.
By the way, the topics are acceptance, letting go, and knowing when to stay quiet. And when I was drinking, I did not know any of these things. In fact, even now, I have to still learn them. I still don't know when to keep my mouth shut. Recently, I had the experience of taking care of my father for 2 years, and I had to talk to my sister, who did not help, and I was doing all the work. I hired people, but I could not figure out what not to say to her. I guess kept blah 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 talking.
من موضوعات امروز رو میخوام، یه خورده موضوعات جلسه امروز که پذیرش هست، رها کردن و دونستن این که چه زمانی من سکوت کنم. من اینها رو قبل از اینکه برنامه بیام تو برنامه که اصلا نمیدونستم، حالا هم خیلی خوب نمیدونم. یه چیزی که جدیدن برای من پیش اومد، بابام مریض بود و دو سال من مجبور بودم که نگهداری بکنم ازش، من و خواهرم. و خب بین ما یه سری بگو مگوهایی پیش می اومد و من یه موقعهایی نمیدونستم که باید ساکت باشم و هیچی نگم که یه حرفی رو بزنم، و همینجوری بعضی موقعها مثلا همینجوری حرف می زدم و مسئله پیش می اومد.
Thank you. And so when I my first drink was I was 12, and I got very drunk and the room spun and my mother was horrified. She might have thought it was funny too. Nobody in my family really drank in my immediate family. My parents didn't drink a lot. You know, they drank normally, and I was the one who was addicted. So my childhood was not happy, but you know, compared to a lot of people, I really shouldn't complain. I mean, I was, you know, I had trouble with other children in school. I had trouble with learning teachers, and so drinking was a relief for me, like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And should I stop talking so you can translate on?
I can go now. من موقعی که شروع کردم مشروب خوردنم رو 12 سالم بود، اولین باری که مشروب خوردم، و من توی خانواده‌ای بودم که خیلی مشروب نمیخوردن. پدر و مادرم هم همینطور، یا میتونم بگم که حداقل نرمال و معمولی مشروب میخوردن، اما من خوشحال نبودم. و در واقع من نسبت به بقیه داستانهایی که بقیه زندگیهایی که هستش، توی بچگیم زندگی سختی نداشتم. چیزهای معمولی رو داشتم، مثلا با بقیه بچه ها مشکل داشتم، با مدرسه مشکل داشتم، اما باز چیز خیلی قابل توجهی نبود نسبت به بقیه بچه. اوکی.
So I after that my drinking occurred maybe once a year on the Passover holiday, and then I found other opportunities to get drunk. No one in my immediate family, I didn't grow up with like wine at dinner every night, you know, wasn't something I didn't even like the taste really. But I loved getting drunk. And I, and even in like my extreme youth, I didn't realize I had that capacity to become an alcoholic. I just thought, you know, my genes would protect me. I wouldn't become an alcoholic. Actually, I kind of thought I might, but it was some weird sixth sense that I had. And then, in fact, I started reading tarot cards at one point.
You started reading what? Tarot cards?
Tarot cards, yeah.
What is it? I don't know.
Oh, it's like they're cards with pictures.
Okay.
And people want readings, and you, psychics, like you give them a reading about their future or their present.
Oh, okay.
So I know how to do that. So I learned how to do that. Yeah. So, did you want to start? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
من تقریبا بعد از اینی که همون توی دوران نوجوانیم، تقریبا همون سالی یه بار مشروب میخوردم، چون اصلا خانواده من خانواده ای نبود که مثلا سر میز شامشون مشروب باشه و بخوام بخورن و شراب باشه و اینها. و مثلا توی تعطیلات و توی حالیده همینطوری هی بیشتر شد. بعد شروع کرد، ولی من حالت مستی رو دوست داشتم، و موقعی که مست می شدم اون حالت رو دوست داشتم. هیچ وقت فکر نمی کردم که یه الکلی بشم. فکر می کردم که ژنی که دارم، در واقع ژنی که ژن الکلی با من نبود، این ممکنه که از من محافظت کنه و باعث بشه که من الکلی نباشه. تا این که یه موقعی کارت خوانی و کارت تاروت و اینها رو یاد گرفتم که از روی عکسش مثلا آینده رو پیشگویی بکنی و یا اینها، و من رفتم توی این و اینو یاد گرفتم. اوکی.
Like a lot of things I learned, I kind of learned that by accident too. I had this boyfriend. He was a Greek Romani, and he, you know, his whole family did all kinds of readings, and so you know, they played music and they danced, and he wouldn't let me drink. I was like, I would take one drink, and he would say, "That is enough." I was like, ah! And I couldn't figure out why I wanted more, but I would have one drink and I wanted more. And when I left him, I went out to celebrate, never having to see him again. It was a difficult relationship. I'm American and we have certain freedoms that his family did not, where he was from. And I was younger and things were different then for a lot of people all over the world. And but in you know, the United States, they had a different thing going on. And so I went out and started getting really drunk. And eventually.
من همین کارتخانی و تاروت و اینها رو، اون رو هم تصادفی یاد گرفتم، مثل همه چیزهای دیگه که تو زندگیم اتفاق افتاده یاد گرفتم تصادفی بود. یه دوست پسری داشتم که در واقع اصالتاً رومانیایی بودن و من با این که بودم اینا خیلی مثلا این اجازه نمیداد که من خیلی مشروب بخورم، یه دونه مشروب میخوردم و میگفت بس دیگه، و اونا بیشتر مثلا اهل موزیک بودن، اهل رقص بودن و اهل کارهای دیگه، و وقتی که ما جدا شدیم مشروب خوردن زیاد من خیلی شروع شد بعد از اون رابطه. جدایی هم اینطوری بود که خب خانواده اون اهل کشور دیگه بودن و من آمریکایی بودم، و تو آمریکا هم اون موقع اون زمان آزادی هایی که بود نسبت به بقیه جاها خیلی بیشتر بود، یا اینی که با فرهنگای دیگه نمیخوند، و بعد از این جداییه من در واقع مشروب خوردنم رو به صورت خیلی زیاد شروع کردم.
Thank you. And so let's see if I can remember what I was saying. So I went to started drinking. Yes, and I'm drinking. I'm having the time of my life at the time. It seemed like fun. And I went out to all kinds of clubs. They had a lot of clubs in New York then. Now it doesn't seem like there's any place to go at night. And I'm older, I don't go out. And I'm sober. And but I went to there was one bar I went to. There were a lot of Irish people. Yeah, there was Irish people. They were playing Irish music. I went to a Middle Eastern club, and there was a band there, and people in the band, some of them were from Iran, and some of them were from Egypt and Israel and all sorts of places, and they would play this music. And I took dance classes, and of course, being a drunk, the hangovers just kind of put the kibosh on that, but sort of stop, you know, it's hard to get up in the morning and take a dance class when you have a hangover.
Yeah.
So.
من دوران طلایی من اون موقع بود و انگار که هر موقع من میخواستم توی هر کلابی که میخواستم میرفتم، توی کلابایی که رفتم مثلا کلاب مال ایرلندی ها بود، کلاب خاورمیانه بود، یادمه که ایرانی ها بودن اونجا میرقصیدن، مصری ها بودن، اسرائیلی ها بودن. الان توی این شرایط به نظر نمیرسه که خیلی جاهای زیادی باشه که شب من بخوام برم، چون هم هوشیار هستم و هم سنم بالاست، ولی اون موقع خیلی وقتم رو توی کلاب میگذروندم و اونجا خیلی مشروب میخوردم و خیلی برام روز بعدش سخت بود. مثلا خیلی سخته که تو وقتی که توی خماری بیدار شدن از مشروب خوری شب قبل هستی، بلند شی و بخوای بری کلاس رقص.
So alcoholism, I felt, I thought, I didn't understand it really. I just thought it snuck up on me. One summer I didn't stop drinking. And I used to drink in the summer and then stop. And one summer I didn't stop drinking. And I went and I was going, it seemed like the Irish music clubs, they drank a lot. And in the other clubs that I would go to, I really don't know what they were doing, but there were more drugs available, and I didn't like drugs. I mean, I tried it for a while, but it wasn't, I didn't like it. I was always protected by certain friends that I had. So I had these other friends that owned this bar. It was a very famous folk music club, and I went and drank there, and they would give me free drinks.
من اون موقع یادمه که مثلا بعضی موقع ها من تابستون ها خیلی مشروب میخوردم و بعد از اون دوباره مثلا برمیگشتم به زندگی معمولیم، ولی یادم میاد که یه تابستونی دیگه نتونستم این رو متوقف کنم و بعد از اون هم همینطوری ادامه دادم. رفتن به کلاب های متفاوت برای من یه کاری بود که انجام میدادم مرتب، و من اون کلاب ایرلندی ها رو خیلی دوست داشتم چون اونجا خیلی مشروب زیاد بود و تو کلاب های دیگه مواد مخدر بود و من امتحان کردم ولی خیلی دوست داشتم، یا اینکه خیلی با من اوکی نبود. به اضافه اینکه دوستایی هم داشتم که مراقب من بودن توی اون شرایط و در واقع محافظت میکردن از من، و به خصوص که یه دوست داشتم که خودش صاحب یه کلاب بود و اونجا من میرفتم و همش مشروب مجانی میخوردم.
So drinking was a way for me to avoid acceptance of reality. And I was really just in my own mind. I was just making up some kind of story. Nothing was real. And I managed to get a master's degree in creative writing. And there was wine at these readings too, and at the poetry readings. And I just somehow concluded that I was an alcoholic, so I started going to meetings. And I accepted that I was an alcoholic. The reality of the world was very surprising to me.
Yeah. مشروب خوردن برای من یک راهی بود که میتونستم واقعیت‌های زندگیم رو بپذیرم یا باهاشون کنار بیام، و من راه دیگه بلد نبودم. من نمیدونم که چطوری، ولی با تمام این زندگی این مدلی که داشتم آشفته، تونستم که توی تحصیلات عالیه بگیرم و توی نویسندگی و توی این باشم. و یه بار که رفته بودم به یک جایی که در واقع مثلا یه مثل شب شعر اینها رفته بودم، اونجا شراب بود و من اونجا خیلی خوردم، و اونجا یک دفعه من فهمیدم که من الکلی هستم. من پذیرفتم که الکلی هستم و شروع کردم به جلسات رفتن.
Thank you. So I walked into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I just got lucky and stopped drinking. I don't even know how it happened. I really just think I was lucky. I didn't really do anything right. I didn't follow this rule or that rule. I just stopped drinking. The thought of my embarrassing myself any longer was embarrassing to me. So I thought, oh my God, I can't keep doing that because I'm found out. They know that I have a problem.
من توی جلسات الکلی ها اومدم و تنها کاری که کردم این بود که دیگه مشروب نخوردم. هنوز نمیدونم که چطوری، فقط فکر میکنم که خیلی خوششانس بودم و شانس آوردم، چون من دقیقا 100% برنامه رو انجام ندادم، فقط مشروب نخوردم و به این نتیجه رسیدم که نمیخوام بیشتر از این خودم رو خجالت زده و شرمنده بکنم جلوی دیگران، به خاطر اینکه به اندازه کافی خجالت زده شده بودم و من فهمیده بودم که بقیه میدونن که جریان من چیه و من الکلی هستم و نمیخواستم اون رو ادامه بدم.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I so then so I started to, you know, sit and in these meetings, and they were in there were a lot, we didn't have Zoom. We were all in this room, and you know, we I would sit there, and sometimes I would have panic attacks, and I would just sit there and breathe. And in those days, there wasn't a lot of medication for this kind of thing, so I didn't take anything. I prefer myself not taking anything. I just, if I'm gonna have a nervous breakdown, I'll just do it quietly, and I'm gonna just, you know, do the best I can with therapy or whatever I have to do. Because I like to have my feelings, but some people need that medication. I'm not saying some people, it's very good. I know people who absolutely need it. There's a lot of people who absolutely need it. They didn't have it when I was getting sober. And like I said, I got lucky. I stayed sober so far.
من شروع کردم به جلسات رفتن و توی جلسات موندن. بعضی موقع ها اونجا توی جلساتم، حتی اون موقعی که داشتم هوشیار می شدم، دچار حملات عصبی پنیک می شدم و من اون موقع دارویی نخوردم، یعنی ترجیح دادم که چیزی نخورم که بخوام اینا رو انجام بدم، و به خاطر اینکه من دوست داشتم که احساساتم رو احساس کنم، نمیخواستم که اینها رو از دست بدم. میدونم که الان کسایی هستن که دارو میخورن برای این موردها و هیچ اشکالی هم نداره برای اونهاست، ولی من نمیخواستم بخورم و خیلی همون زمان چیزهایی برای این مدل مثلا حملات عصبی و اینها چیزی نبود که خیلی ارائه بخواد بشه و من توی جلسات موندم.
Thank you. So I don't even know if my sobriety story is particularly worth anything, but or remarkable. It's not remarkable, but I remember thinking when I got sober, someday I'll tell my sobriety story, because that's really embarrassing, my early sobriety story, but I just can't tell it still. So I started going, you know, I started doing a lot of yoga and doing a lot of exercise when I got sober, and I couldn't do that when I was drinking. It sort of stopped when I was drinking. And I started teaching yoga at some point. And by accident also, somebody gave me a job in a school, in a college. And I said, well, I'm really not qualified. And they say, you'll do fine. And then suddenly, mysteriously, I was in this yoga teacher training. So I got qualified. And then I remember my mother was always very disapproving of everything I did. And I was very close to her. She was, you know, the matriarch. And she started to get sick at some point. And so I helped take care of her with my dad. And it wasn't, you know, she was in the hospital most of the time that she was really bad. So, and I had, you know, I was there, and I was, I had a lot of energy at that time for some reason. And but I was sober. I accepted the responsibility of helping take care of her. And there wasn't much dealing with my sister, really. She was, it was, she, so it wasn't that, there wasn't a lot, but it was a tragic loss. Like most people who lose their mother, there's nothing worse than, you know, mothers are hard, you know, you get really close. And she wasn't that old, she wasn't young, but she wasn't like what my dad was became. So
من نمیدونم که این هوشیاری من چقدر ارزش داره یا اصلا ارزشی داره یا بسیار ارزشمنده یا نیستش، ولی به خودم گفتم که من داستان اون روزهای اول هوشیاریم رو یا اون ماها اون اوایل هوشیاریم رو میخوام یه روزی بگم، و به خاطر اینکه خیلی داستانه خجالت آور و خنده داریه. البته الان نه، من همینطوری که توی هوشیاریم پیش میرفتم شروع کردم به یوگا کردن و ورزش کردن، و بعد یه دفعه دیدم که من شدم یه استاد یوگا، و این هم تصادفی بود مثل چیزای دیگه هم. و اتفاقش اینطوری بود که به من یه شغل پیشنهاد شد و من گفتم که نه، من نمیتونم این رو، و این خیلی چیزایی که میخواد، نمیدونم فارسیشو، آپشنایی که میخواد داشته باشه بیشتر از چیزاییه که من دارم، ولی به من گفتن تو بیا، و من رفتم اونجا توی مدرسه و توی کالج، و بعد دیدم که من یه معلم هستم و دارم یوگا درس میدم. چند وقت پیش، یعنی مدت های پیش منظورمه، مادر من هم مریض شد و توی بیمارستان بود. ارتباطی که با مامانم داشتم ارتباط خوبی بود، ولی همیشه مامانم منتقد من بود و از من و از کارام منو انتقاد میکرد یا تایید نمیکرد، و اون موقع من هوشیار بودم و مسئولیت نگهداری از مادرم رو پذیرفتم، و به خاطر همین من خیلی انرژی داشتم. بابام خیلی ازش مراقبت کردیم، توی بیمارستان بود و بعد فوت کرد. اون موقع خیلی ارتباط خاصی با خواهرم نداشتم که بخواد توی این جریان کمک بکنه، و مرگ مادرم هم برای من خیلی مثل یه تراژدی و یک غم سنگینی بود، مثل تمام کسایی که مادرشون رو از دست میدن.
Thank you. So she, you know, she passed away, and my mom, and so, you know, and I continued doing whatever in sobriety, and I always had to learn when to stay quiet. You know, when you do certain things, people are very, they're competitive, and I'm not very competitive, you know, I just I had, you know, it's difficult to interact with people sometimes, but I have to learn to when to not to talk, and that's very difficult for me. And it seems better if I meditate every morning. That helps. One day my dad got sick, and I was the fall guy. I had to take care of him. And it was COVID finally after a number of years. And I hated doing it, but I'm glad I did it. But it was really hard because I was alone. And I was getting angry at my sister. And I really had to learn when not to. I finally calmed down a little, but it was still so difficult for me to deal with her. And I had so much. I was always like in a panic. I woke up every morning at 5 a.m. I lost my jobs during COVID, and I'm not physically capable of anyway taking care of my dad and going to another full-time job. So that was my full-time job. And you know, I hired people and everything, and I was not expected to know how to do any of this in my whole life. And that's it. I mean, your turn to translate.
بعد از یک مدتی بابای من مریض شد و بعدش ببخشید من یه خط رو جا انداختم اینجا. اوکی معذرت میخوام. من دارم یاد میگیرم که وقتی که با دیگران هستم کی ساکت باشم و فقط گوش کنم یا جوابی ندم. معمولا اینجوریه که وقتی یه نفر یه چیز رو یاد میگیره توی آدم ها رقابت پیش میاد و دوستان رقابت بکنن. من خیلی آدم رقابتی نیستم و این بر من سخت یاد گرفتن این که کی بخوام صحبت بکنم و کی صحبت نکنم. نمیخوام برم توی اون. ولی بابام که مریض شد بعد از یه مدتی فهمیدیم که اون کووید گرفته و خیلی شرایط سخت بود. من نفرت داشتم از اینی که بخوام مراقبت بکنم از بابام، اما کردم و من عصبانی می شدم از خواهرم و با هم دیگه یه سری اختلافات و بگو مگو داشتیم. خیلی سخت بود که ساکت باشم. نگهداری و مراقبت از بابام و کار کردنم به صورت تمام وقت هر دو با هم دیگه خیلی سخت بود و من یاد گرفتم این رو که اینجا یه کسایی رو استخدام بکنم برای کارم و مراقبت از بابام رو ادامه بدم.
Thank you. So being sober allows me to make choices to be able to show up and to even, you know, have an acceptance about the situation. So I was in charge of my dad's care. This was not something I was ever expected or to be able to do because I was considered the person who went the wrong way in the family. And, you know, and here I am taking care of, like, I figured out his different insurances, which nobody really has now. They don't sell it. You can't get it. But they, you know, he had all this stuff and he didn't even know what to do with it. And I'm not really good at this stuff. I was always the kind of person who didn't know what was going on in this regard. And, but I just had to sit down and do this stuff. And I was also physically taxed. Like now I'm in terrible shape. I have to try to get back in shape. And like, I was starting to, but anyway, so I have a hard time accepting still to this day, the reality of the situation. So like this thing wrong with my foot and I have to go to the doctor and I'm going to get an MRI. It's just like, I have to accept this is what I have to do. And then, you know, it's hard to accept reality. And it's also knowing how much to tell other people. Nobody wants to hear about this. So I have to be like, I have to be pretty, I have to edit my own words. And that's called keeping quiet. Oops. Like,
yeah,
what happened?
I don't know. There's something on the screen, but it's okay.
Yeah,
I think it's still is going on. Okay, pardon me. The doctor and the MRI was for yourself or your father?
My foot. No. Oh, this was for, when I after my. Oh
okay.
God, I didn't say
after
my father
that.
Passed away. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Does everyone have the screen? Oh.
No, I don't have the screen.
I mean, so I just see a white blank and like
yes.
آرجان
اگه میشه این اسکرین رو اوکیش کنین. It's okay, we continue because I can hear you and that's the whole
okay.
point. yeah.
Okay.
من yeah, we're back. من میخوام اینو بگم که هوشیار بودن و هوشیار موندن به من قدرت انتخاب و تصمیم گیری رو داد. من تونستم توی لحظه باشم و توی زمان حال باشم و مسئولیت و کارم رو انجام بدم برای پدرم. به خاطر اینکه من همیشه کسی بودم توی خانوادمون که مثل مثل جوجه اردک زشت، متفاوت بودم با بقیه و قانون شکن بودم، مثل بقیه نبودم. ولی و من وقتی اینجور شرایط پیش می اومد نمیدونستم که من بخوام چه کار کنم. اما توی شرایط بیماری پدرم من مجبور بودم بشینم بپذیرم و اونجا مسئولیتم رو انجام بدم و هوشیاری باعث شد. پدر من فوت کرد و وقتی که پدر من فوت کرد بعد از اون من خودم دچار یک سری چیزهای یه سری مسائل یه سری بیماری ها و اینها شدم و مجبور بودم که دوباره بلند شم، سلامتیم رو به دست بیارم، دکتر برم، MRI برم و این رو پیگیری بکنم و دوباره برگردم توی اون قسمت سلامتی که باید باشم. اینجا بود که من از این تجربیاتم یاد گرفتم که وقتی دارم صحبت میکنم با بقیه چقدر حرف بزنم، چقدر نگم. اصطلاحات پزشکی یا اطلاعات زیادی رو کسی دوست نداره زیاد بشنوه و در واقع من هی صحبتام رو ادیت می کردم موقعی که داشتم صحبت می کردم با بقیه و این همون یاد گرفتن اینی که موضوع امروز که چقدر می تونم کی باید سکوت بکنم هست. اوکی.
So back to my father, when I was taking care of him, any ideas I have about anything, I just threw out the window. And because he visited a lot of doctors, my father, and I took him to them. And whatever they told me to do, I had to do. If I decided he needed a baby aspirin, that was wrong. And so I had to like completely let everything go. I have no ideas about how, what his medical care is. I think I chose to give him a B12 because that's what he always took, you know, but I basically, you know, didn't, I am not in charge. And if I decided I was in charge, I could get in a lot of trouble. So when you're taking care of someone else, you know, I mean, I had to hire people also to help me, and it was very interesting. If something went wrong, you know, somebody was to blame. And it's very interesting. So you just have to kind of let go and do whatever, you know, and just like that expression, self-knowledge avails us nothing at times. And in AA, they say that self-knowledge avails us nothing. And I just put one foot in front of the other. It was a big lesson for me.
موقعی که بابای من مریض بود و من مراقبش بودم، اون زمان من خودم رو مجبور کردم که هر چی رو که خودم میدونم بذارم کنار و به اونها فکر نکنم. و مثلا به خاطر اینکه اون خیلی زیاد دکتر میرفت، دکترهای متفاوت، و خیلی از اونها رو هم من میبردمش و مثلا اگر من فکر میکردم که اون احتیاج داره که یه قرص آسپرین بچه بخوره، من این کارو نمیکردم. اگه دکترش تصمیم میگرفت که اون باید ویتامین B12 بخوره، اونو باید میخورد. و این چیزایی که من میدونستم، من فکر میکردم، همه اینها رو گذاشتم کنار و رها کردم همه دانشم رو، همه دانستهام رو و همه اینها رو و در واقع تسلیم شدم به چیزی که بقیه میگفتن، دکترها میگفتن، گوش دادن و انجام دادن اونها. پذیرفتم که اونها رو انجام بدم و توی کتاب الکلی ها هم هستش که این رو میگه. البته این جمله رو سرش اگر میتونی به من کمک کن، اون جمله‌ای که آخرش گفتن دقیقا معنیش چی بود، که دانش و دانسته های ما رو نمیتونن نجات بدن و به کار ما نمیان و این توی کتاب الکلی هم گفته شده. ما با اونها نمیتونیم خودمون رو نجات بدیم.
خیلی درست گفتی سارا جان.
اوکی مرسی.
So anyway, just to wrap it up, so now, you know, he's passed away and I it's just there's always a lesson on how to except let go and went to keep quiet. Because I even live in situations where I just should not be, I should not open my mouth. And, you know, it's, and I do, I, it's very hard in sobriety to even, when you're sober, even sometimes if you're not used, you know, you we learn to accept what's going on. And like they say that the only way out is through. And, you know, we always want to go around, but we have to go through. And it's very, you know, I, it's like, okay, I have to do this. And I even get stymied every time there is the slightest obstacle. I'm like, oh, do I have to do this? I have to go and do this. But you know, that's life. It's got to be done. And there's also those expressions, this too shall pass. And yeah, there's all kinds of stuff, like I have to fix the plumbing or something, and you know, I've got to get that done, like there's no way around it. And or if there's a problem. So anyway, thank you very much for letting me speak. It was very gracious of you, and thank you, translator Sarah, you did a great job.
Thank you. توی زندگی همیشه اتفاقاتی میفته که ازش من بتونم درس بگیرم، بپذیرمشون، که باید صحبت بکنم، که نباید دهنم رو باز بکنم. و توی هوشیاری ما اینجا یاد میگیریم که ما ببخشید ما دوباره یاد میگیریم که توی دنیامون داره چی میگذره، واقعیت چیه. در واقع من دارم یاد میگیرم که با این واقعیت ها مواجه بشم که زندگی اینه و تو زندگی اتفاق میفته. بعضی موقع ها الان وقتی که زندگیم داره پیش میره، یه چیزی خراب از آب در میاد، یه مقاومتی، یه مخالفتی هستش، باز این میاد تو مغز من که ای با این چه زندگیه، ای اینم اینجوری شد. ولی بازم ما توی برنامه یه اصطلاحی هستش که میگه این نیز بگذرد. و واقعا همینه، مسائل زندگی پیش میاد. مثلا اگر که لوله های خونه من بترکه یا بگیره، من باید لوله کش بیارم و اینو درست بکنم، یا هر مسئله و مشکل دیگه ای، و بعد اینها رو بپذیرم که زندگی همینه. خیلی ممنون، مرسی که به من گوش دادین. و من دوستان اولین چیزی که ایشون گفتن در واقع بگم، گفتن که زبان فارسی حالت شعرگونه داره و مثل موسیقیه و خوششون اومده بود که گوش دادن. اینو اولش گفتم، من یادم رفت بگم. مرسی، خیلی ممنون آراد جان، جلسه در اختیار شماست و thank you so